I'm Flo Hale, and this is Arts Alive, etc. You know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And this is my first show of my first season here with the station. And I'm so happy to be able to interview two guys that I've known for a long time. And when you say John Soule and Stephen Patterson, what do you think about Bridge Street Theater? Am I right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hope so.
Absolutely.
Well, that and my chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, right. But just quickly to give people that know the theater but don't know too much about you guys before we get to what's going on, you fellas came from where? From San Francisco? I don't know why San Francisco keeps ringing a bell.
We came pretty much directly from Manhattan, but we were in San Francisco for 14 years before that and in Los Angeles for years before that.
Los Angeles, uh-huh. And the name of your other theater company, which you always scolded me because I can never...
No one can pronounce it. It was Calyuga Arts.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a production company that we formed, a partnership to actually produce theater. And we did that for quite a long time until we bought the building here in Catskill and started Bridge Street.
Yeah, and I remember it was just a warehouse.
Yes. You know?
And everybody out there, you know, you think Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland time, oh, I'm going to open up a theater and this is going to be... You don't realize the heartache and the trouble that goes through it. And we're fortunate we have a community that has backed you guys.
Well, as some of our patrons have said, you brought culture to Catskill.
That's right.
So we try to do that. And it's been a great run. I mean, really, we bought the building in 2013, so we're in our 11th year now doing productions there.
Yeah, opened our doors in 2014.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we've done lots of shows. Most years we've done five productions of our own every year and many, many other things.
Music, that we bring in.
Music, comedy, magic.
Dance.
Oh,
dance.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, a question that some people ask me, because I'm usually at the front, you know, guiding people in, how do you pick your plays? How do you go about finding the plays that you do?
Well, we have a lot of connections. Stephen's been in the theater for a very long time. I have a PhD in theater from UC Berkeley, so I've read a lot of plays. And so we have a backlog of plays that we've said over the years, many years we've been producing theater, oh, we'd like to do that, we'd like to do that, we'd like to do that. So every year we come, make a list. We try to find some kind of idea that might tie the shows together. I mean, this year we called our season In a Year of Living Dangerously, which you probably can understand, especially by now.
Things are very so uncertain right now.
And so, you know, that inspired some of our selections. I mean, basically, we love plays that are challenging, that are thoughtful, that have something to say about the world we live in.
Absolutely.
But also are theatrical and entertaining and if appropriate, comedic. And, we try to break it up so that we have many different kinds of shows that, you know, some people will like some shows, some people will like other shows. So
we really like to have a balance of things. And the other thing is we've both been working in theater for so long.
Sure.
We know so many playwrights and so many artists, and a lot of people will send us suggestions for scripts that they have just discovered.
Right, yes.
We love to do new work. We love to do world
premieres.
That's
what I think is so exciting, is that and it doesn't make any difference what the subject matter is.
Yeah.
You know, you've done things that are political, which are good.
Yeah.
And I think that that's very important because theater plays a very important part, I think, in the way we think about things.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Well, we're far more interested in plays that aren't just political, though.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like plays that are polemics.
Mm-hmm.
We love plays that are again, really, really theatrical, but that really have something going on, that really have meaning behind them as well.
That's really very, and then when you do your casting, are you doing your casting? I know you have there are some marvelous local actors, you know, in the area, but you also go into New York.
Right.
To,
well, we it's very important for us to cast really good actors doing our work.
Specifically because so many of the plays that we're doing are really, really challenging.
Oh, they are.
Both for the audiences and for the artists.
Absolutely.
And so we reach out wherever we can. If we can use local artists, that's great. Otherwise, we do auditions in the city and bring up people in the city.
And we also have a backlog of actors who we have worked with in the past that we are anxious to work with again if they're available.
There's a play that they did at the theater, which always amazed me because it would have to change every night. And I can't remember the name of it. It was about the two fellows playing ping pong.
Yeah, it was called Chip and Gus.
Chip and Gus. Now, and I saw the play many times. Uh-huh. And I noticed they'd have to change it because they never know where the ball is going to go.
Exactly. They play ping pong through almost the entire show.
That would go off the stage. It would go into the audience. It would go here. It would go there. And they have to be right on their toes with dialogue.
Well, these are two actors that we have both worked with in the past. Chris Mullen, who was in our productions of Long Day's Journey into Night and Sexual Misconduct of the Middle Classes.
Yes.
Was wonderful in both of those. I've worked with John Aline, who was also in the cast, and with his wife, Jean. Mm-hmm. She brought in a one-woman show about Margaret Hamilton that John had written, and they did it at our theater one Christmas.
Yeah, and that was wonderful.
Christmas.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Right. So, these were people who we had worked with in the past. We knew that they were doing that show. We loved that show, and we wanted to bring it in and bring it to our audiences. So that happens sometimes.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's so important. And your audiences, because I get an opportunity to talk, to a lot of them, and what they like is the fact that they always leave saying, I didn't know that. I just learned something. Oh, that was rather interesting. I didn't know that happened.
Right.
And it's a very interesting. You did one play, and it goes, my memory gets foggy sometimes. Something about a couple that had to do with Nazis and stuff like that.
That was East of Berlin.
East of Berlin, which was a terrific.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was talking about Chris Mullen being in Sexual Misconduct of the Middle Classes and East of Berlin. Both those plays are by Hannah Moscovich, who we just closed the U.S. premiere of her latest play, Red Like Fruit, here at the theater. Mm-hmm. So, again, we find some playwrights who we really resonate with, whose stuff that we really love, and we like to bring them back again.
Oh, sure, sure. Now, the play that's running now, make sure they know the title of that, the play that's running now.
Well, the play that's running now is probably going to be closed by the time this goes on the air.
Well, that's
true. That was called Red Like Fruit.
Right, yeah.
And it's a stunning play.
And let me tell everybody, you may not get a chance, but when this show airs, that show will have already closed. But let me tell you, that's just an example of the work that they do there at the theater. And the one thing that I've discovered about Bridge 3 Theater is they're not afraid to take chances. Mm-hmm. They will go over the line. And I've seen some audience go, oh, my gosh. And other audiences saying, well, yeah, why not? So it's you're pleasing both sides of the aisle.
Well, again, we like to keep our audiences off balance. We like them coming into the theater not having any idea what they're going to see. Mm-hmm. And that keeps us off balance, too.
Sure, sure.
We don't know how people are going to react. We love plays that take risks and that really challenge the playwright and the artists.
Those are the kind of things we love. That is on now that I saw a couple of times is very challenging for the actress.
Oh, incredibly.
Because she is on stage reacting, and some of the audience, well, is she reacting or is she not? And you can see what she's thinking. And that's what I liked about her performance. You could really see what she was thinking all the time. Quote, I'm calling him the narrator.
Right.
Was, talking and
was basically telling her story.
Right.
And she was sitting there listening to it and having to react to it.
She
speaks very little during the course of the show.
That's right. And everything you see, you can tell.
Yeah.
And this is what is so fascinating that audiences tell me is that I always thought acting was so easy, but I'm watching them and that's hard work, isn't it? And I say, well, yes, it is. It is very hard work. You know, this is not an easy thing. But let's talk about the rest of the season at the theater and what you have planned for next season.
Well, at the very end of the this season in November, we're doing On Golden Pond, which is our
great.
which is our sort of familiar title for the year. We've been over the last several years. We've decided that we wanted to do a show that everybody knows the name, it helps sell season passes.
Oh yes, talking about season passes, you know, go to bridgestreet.org. Yeah. And find out about the season passes you're really.
But also, we have an actor here in Stephen. I'm directing that one. We're casting all those roles locally, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They're all
and
local
they're good
actors.
This is a completely local cast for us.
And Carmen Borgia.
Uh-huh.
Who's the engineer here on he's doing the sets for us for that show. He's stepped into the theater this year and done all kinds of great work for us. He's been our resident set designer basically for the whole year, and he's also a great sound guy, as you probably understand here. If you can hear us, then it's because of him. Excited to be doing On Golden Pond. It's not I don't think to be a very easy play to do. It's challenging in some very subtle ways to bring it to life. And of course, if you've seen the film, you know, you have to have wonderful actors to make it work.
Vaguely erase the memory of Henry Fonda and Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, other than that, we're doing quite a few things in October. The weekend before we start rehearsals for On Golden Pond, we're bringing back Peter Samuelson, who's a magician, very, very famous, longtime magician who does lots and lots of work in New York. And has been on Penn and Teller's Fool Me, and you know, they praise him to the skies because he's such a classic of the magician class, let's say.
Well, I think one of the things that's really wonderful about Peter is that he's a storyteller.
Yes, that's what I like about him.
Well,
because
I usually don't
care for magicians. You know, what they're going to do.
It's not just tricks. There's stories behind absolutely everything, and he leads the audience through it. This is his show. He's doing three performances the weekend before Halloween, and has sort of a Halloween-themed show called Devils and Details. So it's a little eerie, a little spooky, and I'm sure he's going to have our audience sort of trembling in their seats.
Well, he's very. I was talking to him after the show, and I want to try to get him on for an interview because a friend of mine worked for a magician for a long time, and we go see her shows, and he'd be sawing her in half in the air and stuff like that. And after she left, she was really sworn to secrecy. She said, "Flo, I cannot tell you."
Yeah.
I said, "But you're not with them anymore. It doesn't make any difference. I cannot. You can give me $1 million, and I won't tell you." But then it spoils
the secrets
for everything else.
Yeah.
You know, everything you want to do, it's gone. But let's talk about you've talked about the rest of the season, but now let's talk about next season so we can get people excited about ordering their tickets. And
Next season is very much up in the air right now because Stephen and I are both trying to step back a little from the operation
of the
theater.
That's right, yes, I know.
And we are currently in the process of looking for a new artistic director. And part of the process is going to be bringing new people in who are potential candidates for artistic director to direct some of the shows that we do next year. So as we develop the season, we're really looking at shows that those directors would like to do and also would fit into some kind of a vision of what next year will be. The other unknown about next year is some actual... Well, first of all, we have some wonderful news that we're just going to, probably as this comes out, we will be making a really big announcement. We received a big grant, $78,000 actually, from New York State Council of the Arts to build out an ADA apartment. There's one little corner of the building that we never developed, and it's just an empty room.
Right.
Carmen actually came in thinking he might make it into a
radio studio, yeah, right.
But it didn't happen. It was too funky.
Right.
Too much of a mess.
It was terrible. So
it's right next to the bathroom.
The front bathroom.
But we're gonna pull everything out in there and put in a really nice. We'll have another shower. We only have one. We have an apartment upstairs in the theater, which we used to house. Actors,
visiting artists,
but now we will have a place downstairs that we can house anybody with physical challenges. Mm-hmm. Let's
terrific,
say.
Yeah.
And it'll have another shower in it, which is great because we only have one shower in the building right now. And it will be another apartment, and there's another kitchen down there, so it will really be a great place that will enhance the value of our building. And then we're looking at this $10 million that's coming into the Village of Catskill.
I know. I was at the meeting, and let me tell you, Bridge Street Theater got so many dots.
Yep.
So many dots. Diane and her husband, Ron, and I went around telling everybody, and they were wonderful to... They'll put your dot here, put your dot there. This is what we need. This
right,
is what
right,
we
right,
need.
Right.
You
so
know,
we're looking. So we're really looking to do some really big renovations on the theater as part of that process. So that'll be great. And
I mean,
that
building was, you know, an old industrial building from the early 1900s.
Sure.
And you know, it's showing its age. So we're really hoping that we can do a real big renovation.
Okay.
But it's been really it's rough. Everybody thinks that show business, I want to be an actor, and show business is so easy because they see the end result and they don't understand all of the work that goes into it, you know. But it's Carmen, were you trying to signal me with anything? Okay.
We just want you to stay on the microphone.
Oh, okay. I got so excited. I went and I was
okay,
leaning over towards my lover here, John.
Yeah.
And I
hands on knees under the table's okay. But
yeah. Oh, okay. Fine. So behave yourself, John.
Okay, fine. Okay. Very good. I'll try that.
Yeah.
But so anyway, we're looking for some money coming from that grant. We're going to look to providing a brand new entrance to the theater. We'll have an outdoor patio that leads up to the entrance, and the lobby itself will be in a different place, and it will actually open up so that we can have an entrance to the main theater that we have now, but also to a separate entrance to the speakeasy that we have now, which is our current lobby, and that will be a different performing space, more like a black box, a much smaller venue even than our small theater, but a more intimate venue even than that, that we can use for, you know, cabaret shows or you know, magic shows or whatever. And so that will be a great boon to the theater. We're also looking to develop the big room that we have now, which is just primarily storage.
Right, yes. What are you going to use that for?
Well, it will have some office space in it and also then be potentially a rehearsal space that mirrors the theater itself.
Good.
So if we can get... And also we have to put a sprinkler system in the building in order to have more than 99 people in the building.
Gotcha.
So that's a huge expense that we decided not to take at the beginning of the, as we were doing the initial renovations.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to getting that money if we can.
We're
be
keeping
great.
Our fingers crossed. It would really, really be a huge,
absolutely.
Huge boon to us.
And I think what you're beginning to do also, too, is you're beginning to reach out to senior centers.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And giving them discounts.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go visit the senior centers, I'm always, you know, and of course they are very excited about On Golden Pond.
We know they're going to love
it. As soon as
Golden
I mention,
Pond.
Oh, Katharine Hepburn, Henry Fonda, you know, and they really, the one problem
I... We will not have Henry Fonda and Katharine Hepburn in the cast.
No, unfortunately, no. But what's so funny...
Maybe Jane Fonda, we could bring her in.
I don't think so. She's a little bit too old, you know. But when I was directing Driving Miss Daisy... And, of course, there was a wonderful film of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when the play was over, a gentleman came over to me and he said, you left things out of the play. And I said, well, because in the film, they add scenes, they add a whole bunch of...
Yeah.
And I tried to explain him. No, this was the play, not the movie. And he wouldn't believe me. He said, no, you just took the easy way out.
Well, well, there is in the film, too, which we just watched recently, just to get familiar.
Golden Pond.
There's a whole other scene that takes place outside with a boat that, you know,
crashes.
None of that is in the play.
That's not in the play.
No. And to try to tell people that have seen the movie.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Oh, you left something out. No, we didn't. You try to explain that. And this guy left the theater being very angry with me because he said, you cut things out. And so you just say, well, okay, what are we going to do? You know, but it's very.
You know, we were just talking about the future of theater and the. You know, where theater is going right now, because it's been a tough year for theater in terms of, you know, audience participation and, you know, funding, federal funding.
Well, it's been hard since COVID, really.
It's been really hard since COVID theaters to come back. We had a great time in COVID. We could go on about that if we wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
But we did a lot of dance residencies in COVID.
And
that was great.
And you also had tons of masks at the entrance of the theater, people that wanted masks and things like that.
But we're thinking maybe the theater is ready for a comeback, because now film is even, if you go to a film, you have it's getting to the point where you have no idea whether you're seeing real actors or AI versions of actors on the screen.
So much of it is CGI.
And if people want to know for sure that the people that they're seeing are real.
Are real,
come to the theater, because there's no way around it.
Yeah, we do think that people are going to start craving human contact again.
There is a play that was written in the 1920s. It's called R.U.R.
Right?
Yeah, we know that.
It's all about, and I happen to see the silent film of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's fascinating because everything that was written then is happening now.
Rossum's Universal Robots.
Right, yes, absolutely. Right, you know, and I'm so glad that you guys know about that.
Oh,
it's really.
John and I are getting up there too, so we know a lot about theater history.
Yeah, good, good, good. Yeah, but now as far as your. You know who I would like to see you bring back in your cabaret, because she was so good. And she really has such a fantastic following. And that's Julie Gold, because she is good, and she was a big draw.
We are again, that would be an opportunity if we have our speakeasy as a separate performing space.
Mm-hmm.
Then we could really look again at bringing in cabaret performances there.
Sure, sure.
And that would be, and we have another cabaret performance in the room with us here. performance.
Well,
Flo has done many, many cabaret shows for us, and you know, and it's been wonderful. We always sell out when Flo is on stage.
Thank you for that. But I had a great time in the city.
Yeah.
You know, doing the shows there and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's here, when the people come to the theater, they're mostly people that you know and stuff like that.
Right.
And when I was doing the shows in New York, they were people who just knew about the club. And they and then you're out there and say, oh, my God, they don't know me. Are they going to like me? What's going to happen? What's going to be happening here? You know. But the cabaret is fun.
Well, you don't have that problem, Flo, in Catskill, at least. Everybody knows
the
Flo.
The other thing that is interesting is I heard that you might be doing some things with teenagers.
Oh, well, we just did.
So
I mean, assuming whenever this
airs,
on the October 6th, Monday night, we did, apparently, or will be doing as of this time, a show called Enough plays... plays to end gun violence.
Mm-hmm,
and it's a national movement. There are like more than 48 different theaters around the country who are doing performances at the same time.
The same night.
Good.
And Tim Dunn, who is our assistant artistic director, is directing that. And he's brought in local teens, Catskill and Greene County teens, and they're reading six teen-written plays,
you
know, doing a reading, a stage reading of them.
Sure.
So that's exciting. We'll see how it goes. But, yeah, it sounds like it's really a wonderful opportunity for us.
We're also in the process of instituting some classes, both for students and for adults, and some improv. Intro to acting classes. So we're really attempting to bring in far more training and bring
well,
in a lot more people.
You know what I would like to do for you guys? If we could get somebody out there to donate a camera and a monitor in Saugerties for a dance studio in Saugerties. The kids wanted to learn some acting techniques, and I did a whole class on TV technique, and they wrote, directed their own commercials.
Their own
they wrote
things.
And then we had their families come and sit and watch them doing their shows.
Wow.
And it's great. So if you can get somebody to donate a camera and monitor, I'm volunteering my time.
Okay, great.
To work with the kids for TV, and they were just really, really excited about it.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And it makes them think. Anything that has to do with theater with children, it's a start to make them think. They
Absolutely.
Think it's easy.
Yes.
And especially when I asked a young person about improv, I can't do improv. I've never done it. I says, from the moment you get up in the morning until you go to bed, the whole day is an improv.
Is it improv?
You know, you don't, what we're doing right now, I said, is an improv. Yeah, I guess they call me Miss Flo. They say, yeah, Miss Flo, I guess it is. And they get so excited and all that. Oh, I am doing improv. I am doing improv, you know, and it's,
okay.
It's really so important for all of these young people. And it's also good if they're going to go for an interview.
Yep.
How to handle themselves at interviews, because that's a real improv. You never know what somebody's going to ask you or
Put
something like that.
Put down the phones
that, you know?
And talk.
So, anyway, listen, guys, I want to thank the two of you so much. And I want the theater is going to be successful. And please, everybody out there, go to bridgestreet.org. And thank you both again. Mm-hmm. Love you guys. Take care.
Okay.
Thanks,
and
Flo.
That, what I want to say is I would definitely want to thank two people. First, Lex Gray for helping me. She's been my chauffeur. She's been chauffeuring me back and forth. She's a very, very talented lady, and she's really worked very, very hard to get me going again in radio, and I really appreciate it. And if you see on Facebook that she's going to be anywhere, please go. She's a very talented lady. And also, the guy that I'm looking at, Carmen Borgia, a fantastically, not only is a wonderful engineer, but a wonderful musician. And he does many, many shows over at Bridge. See, I can say Bridge Street because I'm not an employee, but he can't say it.
Yep.
But I can say he's at Bridge Street, and he's wrote a wonderful musical that played the full houses. And so, Carmen, thank you very much. I really appreciated everything, you know. So it's just thank you all so much. I appreciate your listening. And please, tune in again. We'll try to keep entertaining you all the time, here and now. And as I said before, so long means so long as you're alive, so long as I'm alive, we'll meet again. So in the meantime, and he's showing me something that I have. How many seconds do I have left?
43. 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
I still have 2 minutes and 20 seconds. How exciting. So listen, guys, 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Okay.
This apartment that you're going to be redoing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's going to be for actors perhaps who have a handicap that they can't
get upstairs. Yes, exactly. We'd love to bring in more disabled performers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But our housing currently is all on the second floor, so it's not available to
them. About 3 years ago when I was watching the Tony Awards, and I did not realize that the actress that at that time on Broadway that was playing Atto Annie was in a wheelchair.
Yeah, Allie Stoker, yeah.
And she was marvelous.
Yeah.
At the Tony Awards, they were, showing her, her song and whatnot, And I thought, how wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a gal who's in a wheelchair, and she's received Tony Award, and she's on the show, and she's doing all of these wonderful. And it just shows you out there, don't look at somebody who has a handicap and say they can't do something.
Well, we brought in someone to the theater quite a few years ago, several years ago.
It's in 2017, I think.
Named Ryan Haddad, who is a disabled performer. We were sort of able to carry him around enough to get him through stuff, but that was great. And that sort of gave us the idea that we really needed to provide an opportunity for those people,
Oh, sure. And, of course, when you start to do that, well, there are so many other senior citizen places, assisted living places, where you can have more people come to the theater.
Right. Well, we are ADA handicapped accessible as a theater, and we have handicapped seats and all that stuff. So that's been a great opportunity for us, too.
I know that there's one playhouse, the Ghent Playhouse, where they have busloads of people coming in from senior places.
Nice.
And they have wheelchairs, they have the walkers, they have everything. And it's just really absolutely fantastic. And again, the station will also be there for anybody. Have any ideas, get in touch. And we'll try to please, okay? And again, Carmen, thank you. I appreciate it. Bye.